Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. Yes, a very busy programme ahead of us tonight. I see Niall Hatch is scribbling notes down there. Are you signing cheques for me, Niall?
No, you wish. No. I'm just making notes. We want to be on our game here in Mooney Goes Wild.
Yes.
Thinking of questions. I'm thinking of comebacks for the things you're going to throw
at me. Very good. Let's say hello to Jim Wilson, who joins us from his home in Cove in County Cork. How's everything there, Jim?
Derek, hello to yourself and Niall. Everything here is fine. No point in complaining. Nobody ever listens to me, so, you know. Yeah.
Well, I listen to you now. If you want to have a bit of therapy, I'll charge €50 per hour, Jim, because we're here for the next hour. Jim, can I ask you, have you noticed, or is there a good place in Cork to go and see a starling murmuration? I'm asking for a reason.
It's only about the start of murmuration season down here anyway. There are some starting already, but really it's the next couple of months. Normally it's down West Cork, Timoleague direction. There's usually a good one. But you cannot rely on any one site from year to year, believe it or not. Down in Ballyvergan near Youghal, I remember when I was only starting out bird watching, going down there, and it was huge numbers. Ballycotton was the same, massive numbers during the winter. And I don't know if you would have to check with the people in Ballycotton and Youghal, but as far as I know, there hasn't been major murmurations down there. If there has, it's only been once or twice. So this year, we're still waiting to see where they're all going to start gathering. I know up the Midlands and the West, there tends to be more reliable sites. Niall might be able to help me on that, because I know Birdwatch has been looking for records of murmurations, this big gatherings of starlings during the winter.
I was going to say, I should have really clarified what it is, but Jim, you're beginning to say it. So will you just explain what exactly a starling murmuration is, and for the benefit of the listener, that noise you're hearing in the background that sounds like a free-flowing river is actually the sound of thousands of starlings overhead swirling around just before they come into roost, and that is what a starling murmuration is. But Jim can describe it better. But take in that sound as Jim is talking.
A murmuration, the word really is a crossword word, if you know what I mean. It's a fancy word for a great big flock of starlings, and in particular starlings that are about to go to rest for the night. They're about to go to sleep and find somewhere safe, and they come together in huge numbers, sometimes 10, 15, 20, 50, 100,000, 200,000 birds. Every now and again, every couple of years, there's one or two places in Ireland where you get these absolutely enormous concentrations of them, and they behave like an organism. I'm sure people have at this stage seen them if they didn't know what they were called. These big blobs of birds, and they're making all sorts of amazing shapes in the sky as if they were literally one organism alive. And in fact, for a while, scientists believed that maybe they were a super organism, because they must have had incredible control to duck and dive and not always be bumping into each other and things like that. And when you do watch it, I mean, everyone, it should be on your bucket list. Ireland is not that big. You need to go and see one of these. And Birdwatch Ireland usually lets people know through their Facebook page and things like that where the best ones are and when the best time is to go to see them.
And it happens around dusk, before it gets dark, is when the birds start to come back to roost for the night, and you see them in the sky. It starts off with one or two here, four or five over there, 10 or 20, and then before you know it, the sky is full. Well, the reason I asked you is that Adrian Hoare, who's a listener to the radio programme, sent us in several pictures of a starling murmuration, and he said he took them from his home in Boula. Adrian, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, B-O-U-L-A, near Portumna and County Galway. So the starlings are murmurating over there, Niall, already.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And as Jim said there, in Birdwatch Ireland, it's something that's very dear to our hearts. And once again, this winter, we are running our now annual Irish Starling Murmuration Survey. So if you do see starling murmurations, big or small, do let us know. You can find the details at birdwatchireland.ie. We'll put them on the Mooney Goes Wild website as well. But we want to track those, because they're quite ephemeral things. We want people to be able to enjoy these. It's a great natural spectacle. As you said, Jim, everyone needs to see this. It can be life-changing for some people. It's such an emotional experience. and it's really incredible. On the East Coast, they're a little harder to find sometimes. Last winter, there was a reasonable murmuration. It was a you get around parts of West Dublin sometimes. I know there's some scene around Talla that you could get some around there too, but they tend to move on a bit. Probably the most reliable one in recent years, and one that I always direct people to if they want to have a very good chance of seeing it, it's in County Westmeath. It's at Loch Ennell. If you go to a place called Lilliput, there's a little boating pier out there, and there's a bloody reed bed there. If the weather conditions are right, you'll see these starlings during their murmuration just before the evening, and it can be absolutely mind-blowing. It's one of the best things I've ever seen in nature. But there's other places to get them too. I know that, Derek, you've seen them several times up in Belfast, the Albert Bridge.
The Albert Bridge. In fact, I was in Belfast last week and I went over, but either I was... 2 weeks ago, sorry. So maybe it was just that bit early. Yeah, it was a bit early.
I'd say, would you think, Jim, it's probably best as you get towards Christmas time, into December and then into January, it's usually its best.
Yeah, I think December and January, sort of early December to mid-January are probably the best months. While you were talking there, I asked myself a question I couldn't answer, Niall, so I hope you can. How many starlings constitutes a murmuration? We've got what I call a murmuration here in Cove, and all of 57 starlings turn up every evening and put on the exact same display but in miniature. So if I'm reporting a murmuration to Birdwatch Ireland, how many starlings should there be in it before I report it?
I think that's a good one to report, Jim. It is a good question. I mean, I guess if they're starting to exhibit that behaviour where they're behaving as you said, like a single organism, I think that's a murmuration.
Perfect. Size doesn't matter in this case.
No, absolutely. So a single starling couldn't form a murmuration, but I think if you're talking anything over, maybe even anything over 10, 12, if they're behaving in that
way. And kind of flock. Yeah, former murmuration. Yeah. Okay, so how many birds in a flock?
Well, it depends. So and it's very hard to estimate how many are in a murmuration. So as part of the survey, we ask people to try and estimate it, but it's very hard to do because they're moving constantly. You can't count them all. And sometimes people wildly overestimate them or underestimate them. It can be hard to tell. I've seen some work done where people have taken very detailed photographs of them and then they count each bird individually. And it's very difficult work, though. You can make tens of thousands, even 100,000 sometimes.
Yeah, I think the error rate, and it would be huge because it's a three-dimensional object, for want of a better word, this flock. And so there's birds behind birds behind birds behind birds. They never spread out nicely in just a flat one-dimensional pattern. It's always three-dimensional. So your best bet, like we always do in bird watching, is underestimate. Be conservative, even though we're all wanting to say there was 500,000 in it when there might have been only 100,000, you know.
Can I just give you some information, Jim?
Sure.
As you were talking there, I did some searching and it says on the birdsworld.net, now I've never heard of this website before, that at least 500 to 1,000 birds are needed to constitute a significant murmuration.
Forget that.
500 to 1,000. Well, that's exactly what you use.
It depends on where you live. It's a totally subjective term. You know what I mean? That's somebody's opinion. I am very proud of our 57 starling murmuration here in Cove. And as Niall rightly said, it behaves exactly the same as the monster ones. They fly as a unit. They dip and dive, and then they all disappear, as if someone through a switch, and they all just disappear into the ivy near the credit union here in Cove or by the cathedral, and that's it. And it's exactly the same, but it's just in miniature.
And it seems like you used the wrong adjective as well. Murmurating, it doesn't seem to be a word at all. It's murmuring. Have you ever heard the term murmurating before?
In relation to starlings. I think it's an expression that people didn't use until quite recently, to be honest. You see it in old books. And it was originally, I think it was the collective noun that someone invented for starlings. Now, a lot of those collective nouns are just made up by authors in the Victorian period. They have no sort of pedigree beyond that. But murmuration was used as just a group of starlings. It wasn't even behaving like this. And it became transferred in recent years to this wonderful display.
I fully agree with that. As I say, crossword puzzles is where most of these words were used, like the murder of crows or whatever. Yeah. Most bird watchers don't use those terms at all.
At all in Ireland.
At all, to be sure.
Yeah, but absolutely. I suppose we can't really talk about them without really explaining what exactly is going on, or do we know, in a murmuration.
Mm-hmm. we have an idea. Niall, do you want to hop in on that one and I'll follow on?
Well, so one of the things is, first of all, people ask, well, why do they do this? Because it would seem to be a colossal waste of energy. They spent all day eating food and trying to get fit and healthy, and then they're expending this huge amount of energy. So a lot of it's still a little bit of guesswork as to why they do it, but it's thought that, well, it's safety in numbers, that these birds could be quite vulnerable, the perfect size for a hawk or a falcon to pick off and eat. So if they're all gathered together in a big group, well, that's more pairs of eyes looking out for danger. So you're more likely to see that predator coming. Now, you can't stop it coming, but the fact is, when you have these big displays, it's very disorientating. If you see a murmuration this winter, try focus, for if you can, on one single bird. You won't do it for very long because it's impossible to track one bird. So that's thought maybe to disorientate or dazzle the predator. The other thing, of course, if that predator does come in, it may still take a starling, but the odds are it's going to be your neighbour rather than you. So you'll probably survive.
Happy days.
Absolutely. Now, as to how they actually manage to do it, they know from looking at slowed down camera footage, each starling seems to be extremely sensitive and picking up on the movements of the seven birds closest to it. And when it moves in faster than the human brain or the human eye could actually even calculate this, they react. So they're all sort of weaving around each other, but they never collide. There's never big crashes or anything like that, or very rarely. So it's incredible. But it has to go beyond conscious thought, because their brains just couldn't react that quickly if they were thinking about the movement. They just have to sort of surrender to the flock and just let go with the flow, almost literally.
I always use the analogy, if you're in a tour four-lane dual carriageway or highway, we'll say the ordinary motorway, two lanes. If a car to your right starts coming close to you, you're going to veer to the left, you know what I mean? You're going to veer away from it. And if there was another car inside, they'd do the same thing. So from a distance, it looks like it was synchronized movement, you know what I mean, together. But it's just because, just like Niall beautifully described there, I'm reacting at a split second to what I think a car is about to crash into my right side, so I will steer away from it. And the person, if there was another lane inside me, they'd do the same thing. And from a distance, it looks like, wow, they all turned together like that. How did they do that? Who? I mean, in the past, up to relatively recently, there was theories of there's a leader and there's it's sending, it's calling and sending signals throughout the group.
Maybe it is.
Well, they don't really think so at this stage. Okay. That again, it's a kind of, it just looks like it's all synchronized and controlled, whereas in fact it's kind of organized chaos to a degree.
All right. Anyway, the Irish Starling Murmuration Survey, you can take part in that by visiting Birdwatch Ireland's website.
Correct. Absolutely. Right?
And you'll find all the details on our website. We make it really easy for you. But both Niall and Jim are involved with Birdwatch Ireland. So it's just a coincidence that Adrian sent in those photographs today. So it gives us an opportunity to talk about that as well. We hope you've learned a little bit about it. It's a fascinating thing. It's one of the world's greatest free spectacles. I never get bored. And if you find out where there's one happening, get yourself a cup of tea or a coffee, relax, get your nice warm coat on, because it's usually cold and miserable when it's happening around dusk, and just sit and enjoy it, because it is fantastic. Belfast is my preferred site to see it. I just love being alongside the Lagan there at the Albert Bridge and looking at it and then heading home. But look, it's a really beautiful site and well worth having a look. Jim, thanks very much indeed.